I want you to know that what I feel like when I get up here. There's a certain sense of responsibility, first of all, because I want to preach the truth, I want to preach the Word of God. But there's also a great sense of joy and privilege and honor that I get to stand up and preach the Word of God. And I just want to tell you that thank you that I have this opportunity. And I love it. I love it. We've been talking about the vision for Dolan Baptist. What is the vision? What does it look like down the road? And I've shared time and time again that a vision really kind of paints a picture. And a lot of times it's like a watercolor picture where the edges are kind of blurred, you know, but you can kind of make out what it looks like. But the problem with vision is when you can see what it looks like down the road, you don't always get the detailed instructions of how to get there. Okay? And so I'm kind of painting the picture of what the Lord has shared with me about where He wants us to be. We've just got to figure out how to get there. Okay? Now, we talked about W3, remember? Actually, it's a double V because it's V's. And the double U looks kind of weird. So this double V3 is what I nicknamed it, but it stands for the Welcome, Word, and Work. Last week we talked about welcome. Okay? Welcome. Welcoming is more than shaking somebody's hand and saying, "Welcome to church." Okay? Welcoming means we embrace them. We go out. We find people that need the love of God, and we bring them here, and we welcome them into the fold. Okay? That doesn't mean we condone everything that's going on in their lives. Doesn't mean that we condone what's going on in each other's lives. Okay? But we welcome them, show them the love of Christ, minister to them, get them plugged in, get them involved, allow them to have ownership in what's going on here. That's a welcoming church. And the Lord has called us to be a welcoming church. Okay? Today we're going to talk about Word. The Word of God. Okay? What are we going to base the church on? What should the church be based on? How many of you would agree that there are things in this world that you just don't trust? There are things in this world that we absolutely should not trust. Right? This week, there's a picture I want to show you here. This week, I saw a picture on, I believe it was on Facebook or Internet or somewhere. Spring forward. It reminded us to spring forward, right? But the date's wrong. And Rebecca saw that. She said, "We don't spring forward on Wednesday, do we? Or Thursday, whatever day it was." And I was like, "No, it's always on Saturday night." And she said, "Well, this is wrong then. Who put that up there?" And the thing is, this picture is not trustworthy. It's not trustworthy. There was a time that it was trustworthy, though. In 2014, the time change was on March 9th. That was a Saturday. And March 9th, or Sunday, one or the other. I don't even know if it changed at midnight. I think my clock didn't change to like 2 a.m. or somewhere. And when I was in La La Land in Slumberville, the time changed. I didn't even know it, but it happened. But that's a good place, Slumberville. I like going there. But that picture was trustworthy at one time, but not now. Okay? You see, some things change. And if we base truth on those things that are subject to change, we start to get in trouble. Okay? Isaiah 40 verse 8 says this, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." Forever. There is no end to the word of God. You cannot trust the internet. Okay? How many of you, when you're a little bit unsure about something, you can go to the internet and search it up and look it up? Well, guess what? Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not. You just can't trust the internet. Despite what the commercial says, not everything on the internet is true. Bonjour. Yeah? Y'all seen that commercial? Bonjour. It's not all true. You cannot even trust the word of man. Political candidates are right now making promises that they either never intend to keep or don't have the ability or the power to keep once they're in office, and it's just a campaign. You can't trust the word of man. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. So when we're looking for a foundation for the church, where do we look for truth? Last Sunday, I commented that there are at least three things that some churches are erroneously based on. Erroneously, wrongly, in error. Some false foundations of some churches. And I pray that we're not one of those. And I mentioned three things. Experiences, tradition, and intellect. I'm going to kind of break those down just a little bit. Experiences. The problem with experiences is that some of them are very, very real. How many of you have had a genuine experience before? Okay, all of us should have our hands up, because maybe it was a genuine experience of love at first sight. Maybe it was that genuine experience of puppy love. Maybe it was that genuine experience of becoming a parent for the first time, and it's this, you know, or a grandparent, or maybe it was a genuine experience at church, or maybe it was a genuine experience of the best coconut cream pie you've ever had in your life. Okay, we have these genuine and real experiences. Many people have had a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, and that experience has transformed them. But also, in any given church, you will find people who have not had that experience. And even that genuine experience, if they've had one, that genuine and true experience, it's very personal, and not everyone has had the exact same experience. If we don't all have the exact same experience, then some are left out. Others begin to think that they're better than others because their experience was more powerful or more profound or something. I remember the Christian comedian, and he was commenting that he just didn't really have a good testimony. He said, you know, I grew up in a godly home, and I had a drug problem. Parents always drugged me to church, and he said, I just don't really have the great story to tell. He said, when I hear these guys that have been in prison or whatever, and they come out and they've had this dramatic change, and they've got crowds and people listening to them. He said, I wish I was addicted to crack. He was joking, of course, but it doesn't. That, let me tell you something. My story is that I was raised in a godly home to godly parents. I was at church almost more than I was at home. We were there every time the doors were open. You know, that was my story growing up. Let me tell you something. My story is just as impactful, just as profound, just as powerful, because here's the deal. I was a sinner. I had done at least one thing that the Lord decided was not okay. All right? I'm not going to tell you all of them, because Dad still doesn't know about a lot of them. But here's the deal. The Word of God says if you've done even one, you're guilty. You're guilty. And so it took just as much of the blood of Jesus Christ to save me from my sin as it does the drug addict and drunkard and wife abuser and prostitute and you name it, murderer. It doesn't matter. It's the same. It covers the blood of Jesus Christ covers it all. So my story is important. It is impactful. But that experience that I had is my experience. I've had people tell me that they'll never go back to a certain restaurant because of some service issues they had, some lack of service, bad service. And maybe my experience was, well, that's one of my favorite restaurants. I've never had that bad experience. I don't know what you're talking about. You see, experiences vary. And we can't base church upon experiences, because they're all different. Now, I believe that God wants us to experience Jesus Christ. How many of you would agree with that? That one of God's greatest desires is that we would know Him, that we would experience Jesus Christ. But what that looks like in you and me is different. We cannot base the church on experience, because we don't all have that in common. It looks different. Now, my hope and prayer is that each person here today has had a genuine encounter with Christ, one where they, not an encounter with Christ like we read about in the Bible, with some that said, yeah, I've had an encounter with Christ, but I'm going to go my own way, and I reject that. Remember the rich man? Okay, the rich man, he came, and Jesus said, you know, he said, I've done all that. I've kept the law. I've done all these things. He said, then go sell everything you got. Give to the poor and come back. And he walked away sad. He didn't respond to Christ. You see, but there's others that received Jesus. They called him Lord. They bowed down. And you see, my hope and prayer is that each and every one of you have had that kind of experience where you've recognized the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've submitted your life to him and said, you're in charge and I will follow you. Okay, but if not, today's the day. Today's the day. If not, if that's not you, and your story is, yeah, I came face to face with him one time, and we had this encounter, but I just could not commit. I could not say, yes, Lord. But today I'm ready. I want to tell you that at the end of service, I'm going to be standing down here in the front. My wife, Rebecca, will be standing down here with me. And something brand new for this week, we've also, each week, we're going to have one of our deacons and their wives also down front, okay? You can come down and you can speak to anybody down here. And we can help you walk through the scriptures. We can do whatever you need. Maybe you just need prayer. But that's what we're here for, okay? But if you've never received Jesus Christ, why not? We can't base church on experiences because we don't all have that in common. Tradition. Now, some of you are already getting your drawing your feet up because you don't want to get your toes stepped on. Just bear with me, okay? We cannot base the church on tradition because even traditions come and go. When Jesus walked on the earth, the established church, the church that was established, was full of traditions. Okay? But in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus, he asked, he said, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? And then later on in that chapter, he says, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. And then he said, they worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Not all traditions are bad. Okay? Not all traditions are bad. Some traditions are very good. But some traditions are still being carried out today, still going on today, and nobody can say why. Nobody can say, well, yes, here's the meaning behind that tradition. It's like the story that Rebecca reminded me of yesterday driving down the road. The story of the young lady who, when she was making this pot roast, and she got the roast out of the freezer and she cut the end of it off and put the big part in the pan and cooked it. Y'all heard this story before? Okay. She cooked that in the pot roast and her husband asked her, well, why do you do that? She said, I don't know. My mother always did that. And so one day she went to her mom and said, Mom, why do we cut the butt of the pot roast off before we put it in the pan? She said, I don't know. It's what my mother always did. And so that's just the way we have always done that. So she went to Grandma, said, Grandma, I've been making pot roast. Mom's been making pot roast all of her life. I've been doing it now for my family. And I have a question. Why do we cut the butt off the pot roast? She said, what? She said, you know, how we always cut the butt off the pot roast and put the big part in the pan. She said, oh, honey, I did that because my pan was too small. It was a tradition, and nobody knew why. Nobody knew why. The meaning. The meaning of traditions that are carried out without the meaning being transferred, the meaning is now lost. And instead of doing whatever it was for the original purpose, sometimes it's done now just for the sake of the tradition. Folks, in church, that's called idol worship. That's putting something else and worshiping that. When we worship the tradition instead of worshiping the Father, okay? Worshiping the tradition instead of the Almighty God. Most traditions have a lifespan. Did you know that? They have a lifespan. They're good in the beginning, and for even two or three generations sometimes. But beyond that, the meaning often gets lost. And oftentimes, traditions are based on experiences. Okay. Now, we've just talked about experiences. We can't base truth on experiences because not everyone has the same experience. Experiences can't always be trusted. You do know that traditional things were not always traditional, right? At one point, even the traditional things were revolutionary, new, maybe even controversial. Okay? I gave the illustration that some people want traditional church music. No, they don't. Traditional church music was Gregorian chants sung by monks. And that's not what they want. That's not what they mean. What they really mean is they want what was popular when they grew up in church. Okay? Well, guess what? To some who did not grow up in church, those who have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in this day and age, consider what we just experienced in our time of worship to be traditional church music. 10 years from now, it'll look completely different. Okay? At least it should. It should look completely different if the church wants to effectively reach the lost in that new generation. Traditions change. Meanings get lost. Church cannot be based on something that is constantly changing or becoming irrelevant. Okay? Now, there are good traditions, too. There are good traditions. What we need to do in those cases is make sure that we understand the meaning behind the tradition. There are lots of things that God established. He said, from this day on, you will. Okay? And several things, lots of things in the Bible, and the things that God established. And those are things that we need to be doing. We need to... You don't know those things unless you read the Word of God. Amen. Okay? Word of God is paramount. It is important. Intellect. We can't base the church on intellect or reason or logic, because not everyone is intellectually equal. Okay? Let's face it, some are just smarter than others. But even the most intelligent people still can't figure God out. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there's a larger section that I want to read. It says in verse 19 and following, it says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Church cannot be based on intellect because it falls short of who God is. Another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this time, verse 14 says this, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them." The intellect's not there because they're discerned through the Spirit. Smarts just don't cut the mustard, like we say out here in East Texas. So if the church cannot be based on experiences, cannot be based on traditions or even on intellect, just what should the church be based upon? Let me tell you, His church should be based upon His Word. The church must be based upon the Word of God. How can you understand the reason and purpose of the church if you don't know the Word of God? That is why we teach and preach the Word of God. the Scripture. But this teaching and preaching is not enough for you to learn the Word of God. Folks, I've given you the illustration before that if you ate on Sunday mornings every week and that's all you ate, you would starve. Now, if you're really good and you ate on Sunday morning and Sunday night and then got a midweek meal on Wednesday evening, you're doing a little better. But you're still going to starve. You're still going to be malnourished. Folks, if you don't read the Word of God, if all you depend for your spiritual food is what happens here at the church house on Sundays twice and on Wednesdays, you will starve. You will not understand the Word of God. You will not be able to discern the truths. You will not have the power of Jesus Christ working in and through you by His Word if you don't know the Word. You've got to become students of the Word of God. You ever heard the comment, he knows just enough to be dangerous? Yeah. Like the guy that, the DIY guy who's putting an addition onto his house and he's running the electrical and getting in the breaker box and all this kind of stuff, and Gary comes by and says, do you know what you're doing? He said, oh, I saw it on a DIY show one time. He said, I've never done it yet, but I'm gonna work it out. You know, he knows just enough to be very dangerous. His life is in danger at that point. Very dangerous. You've heard that. He knows just enough to be dangerous. Well, that phrase describes a lot of Christians today. Okay? That even describes a lot of churches today. Some churches and even some denominations. They'll take a piece of Scripture, a section of Scripture, and they'll create an entire theology or doctrine based upon that small section of Scripture. For example, some churches focus very heavily on the gift of speaking in tongues. Okay? Their entire doctrine is built around that very small section of Scripture. Now, I know that 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But the biggest word in this sentence is this word right here. All Scripture. Okay? Every piece of Scripture is valuable. But we have to take the totality of Scripture and not just sections that fit our liking. Now, I am not one, listen to me, just in case you wonder where I stand, I am not one of those that believes that the gift of tongues was just that it's expired, that it's dead, that it's gone away. Okay? I don't believe that. I don't have the gift of tongues, but I believe that if God wants to use it, He doesn't need my permission. It's just not a major theme of Scripture. It's kind of isolated. That part is kind of isolated. It's not a major theme of Scripture. And so we're going to focus on major themes of Scripture. Okay? I'm all for waving a flag. We have flags that we have out periodically on occasion. And if you feel led to wave a flag, get your flag waving on and wave a flag. And I'm okay with that because there are passages in Scripture that mention waving banners and flags or whatever, okay? But it's not a major theme of Scripture, so we're not going to base the church on flag waving. It can certainly be part of it, but it's not going to be the foundation. We're not even going to base the church on selling all of our possessions. Well, that's found in Scripture. The church did that. The early church did that. They sold all their possessions, gave it away, and combined it to the church. And again, it's an isolated Scripture. It's valuable. It's useful. There's lessons in that. Okay? But it's not part of the foundation, the doctrine of the church that we're going to base the church upon. We will focus on the major themes of the Bible. Like what, you may ask, and I'm glad you did. I heard you thinking it in your heart. Okay? Things such as repentance, salvation. Folks, we are going to preach salvation. We're going to We're going to preach maturing in faith. We're going to preach that we can learn from the errors of God's people. We're going to preach evangelism. Okay? We've got, listen, we've got Easter coming up. We've got this movie War Room coming up. I know Sunday school classes are going to be meeting and going out distributing these flyers because we're evangelizing. We're going to get people to come and hear the Word of God. That's part of evangelism. We're going to do that. We're going to preach and teach on prayer. Prayer is a major theme in the Bible. We're going to preach on unity. How unity, we need to be unified and together. And so forth. There is enough of the major themes of the Bible to focus on, and that's what we're going to do. We're not going to neglect or devalue passages of the Scripture. We have to take all Scripture, okay? But we need to be proper in what our focus is, okay? We're going to be a church that is based on the Word of God. Experiences, tradition, and intellect. Did you know that they often divide people? People get divided because of a tradition that I just came to the church. I don't know about the tradition. Why do I need to do that? Doesn't mean anything to me. Somebody else says, oh, no, that was the most important time of this church. It was so important. Well, there's a division there. Intellectually, okay? Some of y'all are really, really smart. Some of you are like me, not so smart. And there's a division. Some of us have had these earth-shattering, mind-blowing experiences. And others of us just have, it's what I've always known. I just kind of morphed into this. Can't really point to a time or period when it happened. It just happened. Those things divide us. But listen, the Word of God. I have this. You can have it. And we have it in common. And the Word of God is truth. It is truth. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Didn't realize he was standing right in front of truth. And what did Jesus say about truth? I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Folks, I believe that. With every fiber of my being, I believe that. And with every fiber of my preaching, I will preach that till the day that I take my last breath. There is only one way. Now, that may be very narrow-minded. Well, it is. Okay? God said, well, wide is the road, the highway, the freeway, the tollway that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path. It is narrow thinking, but it's truth. It's truth. These things that divide us, but the Word of God can unite us. We can all have the Word of God in common. And that is what we will focus on in this church. That is what this church will continue to be built upon. It's what this church was founded on. It's what the church... Now, when I say the church, I'm not always talking about this church, this Dolan Baptist congregation that's been here for a long time. 103 years or so, give or take. I'm talking about God's church, Christ's church, this church congregation, the one down the road, the one further down the road, the one beyond that, the one the other way, the one in town, the others in town. We are the body of Christ, and we all have this in common. Okay? If they're a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, we have this in common. That is what we will build the foundations of this church on. The foundation, the chief cornerstone, is Jesus Christ himself, right? And what does John say about Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not only that, but the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Church will be based upon the Word of God. You know what the Word of God tells us? The Word of God tells us that we have all fallen short. I don't care who you, I mean, I care who you are. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the preacher or the youngest person in the can understand, the youngest understanding person in the room. Doesn't matter. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done something that where God determines, you missed the mark. But we also have in the Word of God His plan for redemption for us, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. When we couldn't do it ourselves, did you know that even the best offering or sacrifice you could make would still not be enough to cover your sins? Only a perfect sacrifice. Your sacrifice couldn't even be good enough. Only a perfect sacrifice could accomplish that. And only God could supply that. And He did that for you and for me. Have you received that gift? Have you accepted that and allowed that truth, that scriptural truth, to be applied to your life? If you are, praise God. Also, if you have, it will be made evident in your life. If it's not made evident in your life, maybe you need to look and see if your life is really based on the Word of God. Folks, I'm not sure where you are today. We have, again, the broad spectrum, I'm sure, in this room. I want to tell you that if you are a child of God and you've just kind of been straying and walking down that wide path sometimes, maybe you're a Bible-believing Christian on Sunday mornings, and come Tuesday on your way to work, you're something different. And maybe today's the day you say, you know what, no longer. Because the Bible does not teach inconsistency in the life of a Christian. And I want to be based on the Bible, so I'm going to be consistent. Maybe that's you today. And I want to tell you that the altar is about to be open. You can come. You don't have to come to the preacher. You don't have to come to the preacher's wife. You don't have to go to the deacon or the deacon. You can come straight to the altar. Get with Jesus Christ your very self. He is our high priest. You can come and get with Jesus and say, Lord, I failed. I've messed it up. I try, but I fail and I fail and I fail. And I realize that I've been trying and trying and trying in my own strength and in my own power, and I just need to turn it to you and say, you fill me. You empower me because I want to live for you. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here today and you've never even trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's quite possible. I've been at some events where ministers and deacons have been saved because they've never really had that genuine encounter. Maybe that's you today. Or maybe you're here today and you can honestly say, you know what? I've been confronted with that before and I've just always pushed back and said, not for me, not right now. And maybe you're here today and you said, you know what? I don't need to put that off any longer because I'm not guaranteed anything. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed to make it home today. Did you know that there, I'm not trying to scare you, but did you know that somewhere, more than likely, in this nation, probably in this world somewhere, somebody won't make it home from church today? We don't know. Again, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to make you understand the reality that we never know the time. We never know the hour. And we need to be ready. If that's you today, I'm going to be here in the front. You come and speak with me. There's nothing magical about this place, though. Okay? Nothing magical about this place. It's just there's something significant. There's something powerful when we actually put feet to our faith. When we step out, we make a move, we're saying this. I know I can do this in my heart, but sometimes I need to act it out so that I believe it. And I want the devil to see me putting him behind me. I'm going to go to the enemy's camp. I'm going to take back what he stole from me. Devil, get on behind me. You're under my feet. I'm going to go down, and I'm going to make this move, okay? Or maybe... we need to do that to convince ourselves. Maybe we need to do that because we know that other people are watching and now they're going to be held accountable. Okay? I know that if I step out, people are going to expect something different out of me. That's a big step. And I know that. But it's the best step you'll ever make. The most powerful step you'll ever make. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that you have had your way in this place today. Lord, I believe and I pray that you're not done. I pray that you're about to do something wonderful and amazing in our midst. Lord, I pray that the word of God has gone out and penetrated. Lord, I stand on the promise that says that when your word is sent forth, it will accomplish that which you sent it forth to do. And it will not return void. It will not come back empty. Lord, your word has been presented today. Lord, accomplish your will through your word. Lord, if I could ever convince or convict somebody to salvation, that's not salvation. Only you can do that. So, Father, have your will and have your way in us. May we, out of obedience, respond to you. It may be real and genuine in our lives. That experience is important. Lord, I didn't just preach that experience was not important. It is important to have experiences. Just as it's important to have traditions, as it is important to have intellect. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So, Lord, find us faithful to you. Find us students of your word. May we build our lives upon the word of God. And, Lord, when we come together, a church who has done that, who has built our lives on the word of God, Lord, you will find a church that is built on the word of God. Father, may that be said of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?